Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We pray that we may hear its truth for us, for our own personal lives. And we pray that we may know it is not just your word, but is the truth for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Recently on the news blog Huffington Post, I came across the following story. A deacon at an Alabama church stabbed the minister of music's mother after her son tased the church pastor in a church brawl on Sunday evening after services. The brawl involved between 12 to 15 people and allegedly began when the pastor of the church fired the church's minister of music and gave him his final paycheck. The church's minister of music allegedly tased the church pastor while arguing about the amount of the check. A deacon at the church stabbed the minister of music's mother in the arm with a pocket knife during the brawl. How good and pleasant it is when kindred dwell in unity. But of course, not even kindred in the church dwell in unity today. And this word, though, this psalm that we just read is not just about those in the church. It's about everybody. Most scholars believe that the word translated as kindred really means those who are joined together by God's grace. And since, in essence, we believe that all people are joined together by God's grace, that this psalm is about all people living together in unity. The context of this psalm, this is one of those psalms of ascent. People making their journey to Jerusalem, to the temple. They've traveled in large caravans for security purposes as well for the sense of community and helping each other. And it was wonderful, and the journey was pleasant if they traveled together in harmony. But any of you who have traveled with somebody who was cranky or couldn't get along with anybody would know that that quickly makes a trip very unbearable or even a disaster. And the same was true for them. But how do we understand this oil running down beard, which really feels gross? Not that I've done it, but I've gotten oil on my beard, and it's just not nice. And the dew falling, running down from Hermon. This is a call for all people to live in harmony. The second verse speaks of the oil running down the head and beard of Aaron. Now, Aaron was the first high priest of the Jewish people. He was anointed by Moses. And Moses anointed him by lavishly pouring this oil down on Aaron's head, and it just flowed down his beard and onto his robes. All priests since that time had been ordained in the same way. The oil, though, was not your run-of-the-mill olive oil, but it was a fragrant oil. It was an oil that had spices and so forth mixed into it. So it had a perfume to it as well. Generous hosts also use this kind of oil to anoint the heads of their guests before sharing a meal together. And also, as we know from the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, dead bodies were anointed with oil and spices. The running of the oil speaks of the pleasantness, the generosity that we find, or you can find, within community. So, verse 2 would seem to speak to those who are within the church, the community, be it literally family or literal neighbors or friends or synagogue or church. It seems, verse 2 seems to kind of keep it in close. Verse 3 is where we find it expanded to all people. Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in Israel. It's north of Jerusalem. And at times, not only does it have rainfall, but it does have snow caps. And the dew running down the mountain is the rain and the melting snow running down Mount Hermon and into the valleys below and eventually feeds into the Jordan River. The water runoff from Mount Hermon, the dew, benefits all people that are in the valley without respect to any differences that exist between those who live in the valley. So this short psalm starts with the top of the hierarchy, the Jewish priest, and extends down through the church community and then down through all people, even the Gentiles. And we hear echoes of this with Jesus saying, love your neighbor as yourself, when he was asked about the two greatest commandments, and that was the second one. We hear echoes of this in our passage from Matthew today, when he says to this Canaanite woman, great is your faith, let it be done for you as you wish. The spirit of a true believer is a spirit of generous hospitality that seeks peaceful community. And that is a call, a big call, that our world, but especially our nation, needs to hear today. The problem is that we have replaced the idea of unity and community with that of conformity. We can't have unity and community unless we all conform to the same idea. And that is not what Jesus says, what the Bible says, what the Psalm speaks of. We believe, though, we need this conformity of ideas, conformity of color, conformity of preferences. Recently, I came across this story, and it kind of resonates with one from when I was in the first grade. A first grader went on her first day to a newly integrated school at the height of the segregation storm. An anxious mother met her at the door to inquire, how did it go, honey? Oh, mother, you know what? A little black girl sat next to me. In fear and trepidation, the mother expected trauma, but tried to ask calmly, and what happened? We were both so scared we held hands all day. My story, I was in first grade, and I came home to my mother, and I said, Mom, we had a new girl in our class today, and she's black. And you know what her name is? And she goes, oh, no. Her name is B. My mother was just so worried I was going to come out with some bad name or something. But I came out with a good girl's name. She used to tell that story a lot. But what that story and the psalm reminds us is that not only are all people God's children, but for the most part, all of our desires are the same. Desires which our nation's founders enshrined in that wonderful phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There are those, and perhaps some of you, who say, it'll never happen. It's too idealistic. Well, yeah, if that's what you think, it will never happen. But then, that's not how Jesus lived his life. That's not how Jesus thought. The one that we call Lord and Savior was idealistic. He bucked the current patterns of thinking and acting, and yeah, he was killed for it. However, when Jesus comes back, however you want to think about it, if he had to do it all over again, he would. Because that is the only way he knows to be. It's the way of God. It's what God calls his covenant church to do and be. Linda Pepe, writes a theological blog called Theological Stew. She also has recipes on her blog, so that's how the stew kind of gets in. And she's talking about a conversation on this psalm that she has with some people. One time somebody asked, and Pastor, what about those people of different faiths or who have different moral beliefs than us?
God didn't mean that the oil runs over them too, right? Because that would just be offensive. And why would we waste our time, especially if they aren't ever going to see the light, or even want to come around to our way of thinking? And what about those people who have real problems? Not like being sick or something, but the other ones. The ones who have problems you can't understand. What problems they brought on themselves? Shouldn't they have to pay for what they've done? Lay in the bed that they've made? Besides, we only have so much time and money and energy to give. Why is it up to the church to fix it all? Good question, she goes on to say. Why is it up to the church? Because everything we have comes from God. Because all oil flows in abundance from God as a blessing to all people. Because the dew on the mountaintop melts to give water to the places and people who have none, regardless of who they are or what they believe. Because we are all here together and are responsible for one another, to love and care for and nurture one another. All of us. And to love and care for and nurture creation. Because everything we have comes from God. And there's no shortage of grace for any of us. And trust me, we need that abundance of grace every single day. Thank God for mercies that are new every morning. It's up to the church. It's up to the church to model this accepting, grace-giving sense of community. It needs to happen in the church. Because people read stories like that opening story and they think, why bother? The church is just as bad as the rest of society. It needs to happen in churches. The church needs to move out from here into the world like the dew of Mount Hermon. Edward Dobson wrote a book, Search for Unity, that shares the following story. Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding through a canyon together when all of a sudden both sides were filled with Native American warriors on horses dressed for battle. The Lone Ranger turned to Tonto and asked, what are we going to do? And Tonto replied, what do you mean we? Unlike Tonto, the church and the individuals in the church need to stand up to the powers. The powers that would seek to create division. And it's happening everywhere in our nation. And it's fed by the media. We need to stand up to the powers that would seek to create division and build bridges. Bridges that connect people, connect communities, connect all of God's children. We need to find avenues that will encourage people to hold hands. Not with just those that we like and think like. To see the face of Christ in each and every person. Our country needs this now. We can have different political ideas. We can have different religious ideas. We can have different preferences. But if we see the face of Christ in each and every person, those differences won't matter. They won't matter at all. And that's what's so great about oily beards. Because it's a sign that God's abundant grace is for all. And beyond that, nothing else really matters. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith.